From the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network studios in Des Moines, I'm Mark Magnuson, and welcome to Iowa Ag Matters. In today's show, Dustin is joined by Rod Snyder of the EPA from Washington, D.C. I will have comments from United States Senator Chuck Grassley about the potential retaliation from China due to increased tariffs. And Andy wraps up his conversation about the 4Harvest Data Management App. Segment number one is brought to you by FBI Buildings. It's time now to welcome our hosts, Dustin Huffman and Andy Peterson.
Well, thank you, Mark, and good morning so far. A beautiful morning here in central Iowa, possibly with some rain moving in later today. But the big news story to start the day is it took him long enough, over a month, but Andy finally got the planting day. How time you quit screwing around and get some work done out there?
Yeah, I was visiting with a couple of people about that yesterday. I actually got an update from someone in Northwest Iowa who says it's wet. We may have to replant some early planted corn, and we have yet to get any beans in the ground. So there's certainly some diversity, if you will, on progress. Talked to a good Iowa Ag Matters advocates, Dean and Linda Frazier, there in Grundy County, and Dean says they're pretty much wrapped up as well over the same span of time. It's been, and we've talked about this, it's been a unique spring, aren't they all, right? But there just haven't been this year an extended planting window with the wet weather, and that's made things difficult to find fit soil conditions. And as we were talking about just a second ago in Northwest Iowa, if it's not fit, the risk is there of replanting, and seed supplies are tight. So lots to talk about. Our friends at Beck's have been keeping us on top of that as well. Let's dive into the markets here. Eric Ralph with Comstock. First up, as always, with our own Mark Magnuson.
Joined today by Eric Ralph of Comstock for our opening market discussion. Eric, what are we seeing taking place in the grains here on Thursday?
Well, a little bit of firmness in the row crops after kind of a torturous day yesterday. We couldn't really figure out what we wanted to do and spent much of the day lower, particularly in the corn, than anyone would have liked. But we are seeing a bit of recovery in the break here this morning with corn up just a penny, beans following suit about a penny higher. All that being propelled by wheat up about a dime across all three classes. So not the worst thing in the world, but we'd like to see a little more recovery out of these corn and beans after what we saw yesterday, like I said. So weekly export sales, okay. Nothing to write home about, but other than the meal, everything just kind of fell within the range of expectations. Meal exceeded that and had a really nice week on the export sales front. So how the market digests that will remain to be seen. But right now, everybody's focus is on weather and what's going to happen in the U.S. planting season and how we're going to get through these next several days.
What was, do you think, pointing towards that big week for soybean meal, like you mentioned, and the fact that we've seen that price move to the upside here recently?
Well, I think you're starting to see the degradation of South American crops to the point, whether it's quantity or quality, but you're starting to see that to the point where some of these global consumers could be getting concerned that maybe they're not going to get what they need from the likes of Argentina and Brazil like they normally would. Now, Brazil doesn't really, they're not a big player in the meal market per se, but they do feed a lot of beans down into Argentina for crushing, which then the meal is exported from Argentina. So the flow is all through Argentina, but you have to look at South America as a whole, including Paraguay. And so when you look at what's going on there and these lower CONAB numbers, and yes, they did raise it a little bit this week, but not enough to really move the needle too much. Maybe there's some fear of supply issues from some of these consumers. And so they're coming to us instead of waiting to see what's going to happen down there.
Do you think wheat is going to continue to kind of be the center of attention here today? Is that kind of the trend so far this week because of those areas where wheat is grown that's had issues with weather recently?
I think that's going to be a big deal. This week is wheat's week to shine. This is the Kansas Wheat Tour week. And so you've got a lot of people out there looking at it, a lot of people talking about it. We're getting daily reports. We're getting crop expectations. This is the first time where you really see analytically boots on the ground talking about what do we expect to see here. And so this is a really big week for the wheat market. And this is a week that is not uncommon to see highs posted for the wheat market as well. And so we have to keep that in mind as we're looking at numbers inching closer to $7 in many of these contracts of winter wheat, both Chicago and Kansas City. Spring wheat, of course, is above that. Their planting pace has just been stellar. And so we just have to kind of tread water and wait and see how that plays out over the next several months on the, in the case of the spring wheat. But yeah, this is a huge week for the wheat, and we're getting daily reports off that Kansas Wheat Tour that are watched very closely.
Well, that was Eric Ralph of Comstock Investments. He'll be back with us a little later on in the program to talk about what's going on in livestock. But right now, Andy Peterson's here. He's got the first round of the Three Big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three.
Keeping an eye on stored grain during a busy planting season can be difficult, and yet a lot of grain being stored on the farm, maybe more than normal. Dave Ellis is GSI district manager and says that you have to go monitor.
Grain bins can heat up very quickly when sunlight hits them this time of year with the temperature increase. So you really need to monitor your grain, especially with the time that these farmers use to grow and harvest a successful crop. If it's in good condition, you'll have less dockage at the elevator and more profit in your operation.
Now he adds temperature management is key to proper grain storage, and adding remote monitoring tools to our bins here in Iowa can help automate grain quality.
Number two.
What will they think of next? It's always exciting to hear about a new company helping Iowa cattle producers who have developed a method of breath collection and analysis to identify specific volatile organic compounds, or VOCs in short, in breath, which are able to distinguish pregnant cows from not pregnant cows from day 16 post-insemination. It's called AgScent Breath, and you can learn more on their website, agscent.com, A-G-S-E-N-T.com.
Number one.
Starting to soar are ag loan interest payments, according to a new report out from the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis, where Tate Berg, a senior analyst for parts of the state of Iowa, says those rates have doubled in the past 2 years.
Since about early 2021, interest rates for ag producers have increased around 400 basis points. And what that equates to is 4% interest. To put it into perspective, in 2021, during renewal season, a lot of ag producers were getting around 4.5% to 4.6% interest rate for their production loans. Now in 2023, they were being charged about 8.5%. So that's a pretty big increase over 2 years.
Now he says in his district alone, he hasn't seen an increase like this since back in 2007. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Spring is in the air, and so are the savings at FBI Buildings. From now until June 1st, take advantage of our exclusive spring building savings. For over six decades, FBI has been the trusted name in the post-frame industry. Starting at just $27,000, you can own your dream building. Want to learn more? Call us now at 800-552-2981. Or visit FBIBuildings.com to request a quote.
Well, we know the EPA has a lot to say about what we do in our agricultural practices, for better or for worse. And we hear from their ag guy, Rod Snyder, coming up next as he talked to us in Washington, D.C. here on Iowa Ag Matters. Well, the Environmental Protection Agency, for better or for worse, has a lot to say about water quality and for our rules when it comes to E15 and all those kinds of things that affect our farm and how we do our practices, even including what sprays we put on our crops. Well, Rod Snyder of EPA talked to us at Washington, D.C. about some of the updates that they've got coming out.
My name is Rod Snyder. I serve as Senior Advisor for Agriculture to Administrator Regan at EPA. I've been in this role about 2.5 years, and I've probably interacted with most of you by this point. I want to just give a couple of quick updates off the top, and then happy to open up for questions. But certainly want to begin by emphasizing what I think was a really historic step last month when the administrator flew down to Commodity Classic. Was the first EPA administrator to ever attend that event, and he used the occasion to announce the first ever Office of Agriculture and Rural Affairs at the agency. We're in the process right now of standing that up. And as I've mentioned before, on the record, we're going to have about 10 folks that are going to help to increase engagement with the ag sector in the coming years. I think it's a really significant effort to make sure that the ag community feels like they have a seat at the table, and that also it creates continuity for the work that we've been doing with the last 2 years with Administrator Regan to try to increase engagement with the sector, also working more closely with USDA. As part of that office, we will continue to operate EPA's Farm, Ranch, and Rural Communities Federal Advisory Committee. That committee right now is focused on the intersection of ag and climate and how we can help the ag sector meet its climate adaptation and mitigation goals. But also, we are one piece of news this morning that I want to make sure that I'm emphasizing is we are setting up a new subcommittee within the Farm and Ranch Committee, and that is our Animal Ag Water Quality Subcommittee. Last fall, we announced that we were soliciting membership for this subcommittee. It was a result of, in August, we had mentioned that we were denying two petitions asking the agency to overhaul its Clean Water Act permitting program for CAFOs. We were not in a position to do that, but we said that we would convene a subcommittee to look at how we can improve water quality outcomes from the animal ag sector, from animal feeding operations. And so today, later this afternoon, we will be making good on that commitment by actually naming the members of that committee. It's going to be chaired by Dr. James Pritchett from Colorado State University. And we're going to spend the next 18 months exploring various ways in which the ag sector, the environmental community, state and local governments can work together to try to improve these water quality goals and reduce nutrient pollution. The first meeting of the subcommittee will take place on May 30th and 31st at EPA. We're also very pleased to have USDA sitting on that subcommittee as an ex officio member because there's so much expertise over here to help inform that process. So that is a little piece of news that will take place later this afternoon. And again, that's also housed within this new Office of Agriculture and Rural Affairs. Do the kinds of work that we think we can really scale up and help to lead with the creation of the new office and more capacity with ag experts and focus within the administrator's office. So beyond that, we've had April has been a very busy month at EPA. You maybe have noticed that, but we did recently issue the E15 emergency waiver for summertime sales for E15 this summer. That was just last week. 2 weeks ago, we announced updates to the herbicide strategy to try to add additional flexibility around that program for farmers.
May is National Beef Month, and with the warmer temperatures of the spring season, there's no better time to fire up the grill and enjoy some quality Iowa-raised beef. We all know that beef tastes great, but it can also be an important part of a healthy, balanced diet. Just a 3-ounce serving of beef provides more than 10 essential nutrients like protein, iron, zinc, and vitamins B12 and B6, while only clocking in around 170 calories on average. Studies have also shown that lean beef can help to maintain normal cholesterol levels and promote heart health. On top of that, beef is a highly versatile meat that can be enjoyed in everything from burgers to steaks and tacos to pizzas. Beef cattle are also excellent nutrient upcyclers. About 90% of what they eat can't be digested by humans, making them invaluable to a sustainable food system. Support your local Iowa beef producer by enjoying some nutrient-dense beef during this National Beef Month. This message brought to you by your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Well, basis has sort of collapsed in some areas. In fact, I was just looking at ADM Cedar Rapids. About a month ago, it was 31 over for nearby delivery just at the beginning of planting season, and now 2. So that gives you an idea. Dustin takes a look at the rest of the statewide numbers next on Iowa Ag Matters.
Time to run down these elevator prices for you on Iowa Ag Matters for this Thursday. I'm Dustin Huffman. Seeing a little bit of movement, but some positive, some negative yet again. Let's see how things are shaking out today. Starting at ADM Burlington, 16 cents under on corn today at 448. Soybeans, 20 cents under at 1194. Cargill Eddyville, 3 cents under on corn, cash bid 461. New Co-op Algona, 5 cents under on corn, 459. Soybeans, 55 cents under at 1159 for the cash bid. Ag State Sheldon, a dime over on corn, 474. Soybeans, 73 cents under at 1141. Ag State Elta, 13 cents under on corn, cash bid 451. Soybeans, 58 cents under at 1156. Cargill Cedar Rapids, even today on corn, 464. Soybeans, 15 cents under. They're at 1199 for the cash bid. Nexus Co-op Marble Rock, 7 cents under on corn, 457. Soybeans, 60 cents under at 1154. Lincoln Way Ethanol Nevada, 8 cents under on corn, cash bid 456. ADM Des Moines, 20 cents under on soybeans, cash bid 1194. New Co-op Red Oak, a dime under, are at 454 on corn, soybeans 50 cents under, 1164. Mid-Iowa Cooperative Green Mountain, 20 cents over on corn, cash bid 444, soybeans 55 cents under at 1159. New Co-op Sheraton, 17 cents under on corn, 447, soybeans 55 cents under, cash bid 1159. Walk-On Feed Ranch, 7 cents under, 457 on corn, soybeans 53 cents under at 1161. New Co-op Glidden, they are a nickel under on corn, $4.59 for the cash bid. Soybeans 50 cents under at $11.64. Innovative Ag Farley, 22 cents under on corn, $4.42. Soybeans 50 cents under, cash bid $11.64. Cargill Muscatine, 20 cents under on corn, $4.44, and soybeans 23 cents under at $11.91. Cash corn and soybean bids are subject to change without notice. Always check with your local elevator when making sales to obtain the most recent price. And that's been a check of your basis numbers here on Iowa Ag Matters.
There are so many decisions that go into being a successful soybean farmer. Plant date, row spacing, water management, crop rotation, soil temperature, cover crop, soil pH, nutrients, water conditions. Whew. At least becoming a farmer member of the Iowa Soybean Association is one straightforward decision in your life. If you market at least 250 bushels of soybeans annually, ISA's farmer membership is available at no additional cost thanks to your soy checkoff investment. Just activate or confirm online and start reaping the benefits. It's a no-brainer. The Iowa Soybean Association proudly celebrates 60 years of moving our industry forward.
Well, there's still more market information to come here on Iowa Ag Matters, including the complete rundown of the midday grain and livestock numbers. Mark and Andy will have that for you coming up soon. Don't forget the market podcast, free of charge, openings, middays, and closings. Get all that right to your mobile device through the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network podcast. Google, Amazon, Apple, Spotify, and Podbean. More IAM coming up next.
Well, there's been a lot of talk, not only in policy circles and ag circles, but also in the marketplace, about the tariffs on China that President Joseph R. Biden announced. It did not include the used cooking oil with the shenanigans going on there, and it isn't particularly sitting all that well with Iowa Senator Charles Grassley. Mark Magnuson has more.
On Tuesday, President Biden announced a surge of increased tariffs on imported Chinese products. The tariff hikes will be applied to $18 billion worth of imports from China, including electrical vehicle batteries and computer chips. Now, how will China respond to the increased tariffs, and how will United States agriculture be impacted? United States Senator Chuck Grassley says it is difficult to predict what China might do in response.
But there is a pattern that's set when Trump put tariffs on that weren't as broad as what Biden has done this year to China. We saw retaliation against agricultural products, and then that hit American farmers. And then you remember, I think it was abuse of the CCC authority. And I say that whether Trump and now Biden's trying to do some other things that I think is an abuse of CCC authority. But anyway, Trump takes $28 billion out of there and distributes among farmers, presumably to offset the damage done by China's retaliation. So I think we have to assume that there's going to be retaliation. And since we're so dependent upon exports of our agricultural products because we produce a third more and we're dependent on exports, China knows that's our weak spot, and I'm not sure whether that's where he would retaliate. But since Trump did it, or we saw it after Trump put tariffs on, I think it's a fair assumption that we're going to have some hurt on agricultural products. I want to make clear to everybody that I think that whether you have a Trump tariff or you have a Biden tariff, that it's a slippery slope that's going to invite retaliation, and we could have a repeat of Smoot-Hawley tariffs that the United States put on in 1930. It shut down international trade, and then we learned a hard lesson, and in the last 80 years we've been trying to learn from that hard lesson. Now it looks to me like we have a whole new bunch of people, some of them are very young and some of them are very old, that have forgotten the history and going to repeat this history. And we have seen capitalism on the one hand and international trade on the second hand expand so broadly in the last 80 years throughout the globe that is reduced to poverty around the globe from about 50% down to about 10%. So I think we have seen tremendous benefits from capitalism and from international trade, And I, as a free trader, tend to think we forgot history, and I'm going to do everything I can to remind people of that history.
Well, thanks for that update there from Senator Chuck Grassley. Great to hear that information and find out his viewpoint on what's going on. Speaking of the viewpoints of what's going on, Andy Peterson's back with round two of the three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three.
Prices steady during the month of April at the grocery store, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics Food Price Index, which was unchanged after increasing 0.1% in March. Now, the index for food at home did decrease 0.2% during the month, with three of the six major grocery store food group indexes going down, while the remaining three did increase. The price index for meats, poultry, fish, and eggs decreased by 0.7%, led by a 7.3% decline in the egg index.
Number two.
Keeping an eye on stored grain during a busy planting season can be difficult, and yet a lot of grain being stored on the farm, maybe more than normal. Dave Ellis is GSI district manager and says that you have to go monitor.
Grain bins can heat up very quickly when sunlight hits them this time of year with the temperature increase. So you really need to monitor your grain, especially with the time that these farmers use to grow and harvest a successful crop. If it's in good condition, you'll have less dockage at the elevator and more profit in your operation.
Now he adds temperature management is key to proper grain storage, and adding remote monitoring tools to our bins here in Iowa can help automate grain quality.
Number one.
Starting to soar are ag loan interest payments, according to a new report out from the Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis, where Tate Berg, a senior analyst for parts of the state of Iowa, says those rates have doubled in the past 2 years.
Since about early 2021, interest rates for ag producers have increased around 400 basis points. And what that equates to is 4% interest. To put it into perspective, in 2021, during renewal season, a lot of ag producers were getting around 4.5% to 4.6% interest rate for their production loans. Now in 2023, they were being charged about 8.5%. So that's a pretty big increase over 2 years.
Now he says in his district alone, he hasn't seen an increase like this since back in 2007. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
There are so many decisions that go into being a successful soybean farmer. Plant date, row spacing, water management, crop rotation, soil temperature, cover crop, soil pH, nutrients, weather conditions. Whew. At least becoming a farmer member of the Iowa Soybean Association is one straightforward decision in your life. If you market at least 250 bushels of soybeans annually, ISA's farmer membership is available at no additional cost thanks to your soy checkoff investment. Just activate or confirm online and start reaping the benefits. It's a no-brainer. The Iowa Soybean Association proudly celebrates 60 years of moving our industry forward.
Hey, Senator Grassley's comments there to Mark Dustin sound eerily similar to 2020, when we were in the middle of a trade renegotiation or rebalancing. And here we go again, I guess, huh?
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, and we talked about it then. I know it was very vivid that, you know, agriculture is the natural first target to go for. I mean, that's where they spend most of their money with us. And so, and obviously when you're talking about food, that's the place to go because we rely on their market so heavily for all the people they had to eat. And so it seems like the first choice for them to go for. Of course, that's not going to limit to just that. It's going to affect all of our economy and all of our goods that we send over there, but agriculture being the first place to go. And definitely don't want to see that, but we also know we can't just let them do whatever they want in the marketplace. That's something that has been a longstanding discussion for quite some time. Of course, the markets are going to react to that, especially once things start happening. But, you know, they always like to buy the rumor, sell the fact. And of course, we know that's going to be a change in how things are going, and a lot of things happening in the world, including an assassination attempt in Europe yesterday affecting the marketplace. We'll have a quick look at those midday grain and livestock numbers coming up next. Andy and Mark have that for you here on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. This is Iowa Ag Matters.
This is the Midday Market Update on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson. Joined today by John Heimberg of Total Farm Marketing for our Midday Market discussion. John, yesterday, kind of a topsy-turvy day in the ag marketplace. What are we seeing here today?
Kind of the same tone again today, too. Topsy-turvy, prices coming off those session highs. We've actually seen some fairly good selling pressure in the corn market. Soybean market's getting choppy today. And the wheat market, too, continue to fall through, at least the Chicago wheat market, off of its sell-off off the early session double-digit highs. First off, let's just get right into that wheat market. I think that's the area that we kind of got the most energy and most volatility right now. Again, on the overnight session, Chicago wheat was pushing 14, 15 cents higher. Right now, we're trading negative on the day. So following through from that big reversal of yesterday, you know, biggest things to keep an eye on, what's going on with that Russian wheat crop? Again, we know there's some damage, there's some loss there. That's kind of what fired this rally up. Also, too, watching what's happening with the KC wheat tour going on right now. Now, they're in some good areas at the same time as bad. And what's good is really good, and what's poor is really poor. So the market's still digesting that a little bit here at this time frame. So we'll have to see how it closes.
That was John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing. Here's Andy Peterson with more livestock news.
The up-to-the-minute numbers, Mark, look like this. Daily estimated cattle slaughter totals coming in at 124,000 head, 1,000 more than a week ago and 2,000 less than a year ago. Oxes cooling a bit, although choice is still off and running, up 238 at 306.77 on 73 loads of sales. 15 loads of select cut selling, 294.31 up 49 cents, so the spread narrowing to 12.46. As far as what's happening pork-wise here, daily estimated slaughter total numbers coming in at 480,000 head. That's 3,000 more than a week ago and 14,000 more than a year ago. Quick check of the cash markets here. Yesterday's closes for comparison purposes. Barrows and gilts, producers sold on a carcass basis. Negotiated purchases, decent run yesterday. 5,277 head were sold. Weighted average price sharply lower, down 210, 88.73 a hundredweight. As far as the formula purchases go, about an average number of 142,000 head of sales and some change. Weighted average price 90.97, the market 30 cents higher. As far as what's happening this morning here, we see a pretty light run, only 2,800 head of negotiated purchase contracts, with the weighted average price up 40 cents to 89.36. Formula purchases, about an average number, 111,000 head. Weighted average price, 90.97. That market is flat.
May is National Beef Month, and with the warmer temperatures of the spring season, there's no better time to fire up the grill and enjoy some quality Iowa-raised beef. Just a 3-ounce serving of beef provides more than 10 essential nutrients like protein, iron, zinc, and vitamins B12 and B6, while only clocking in around 170 calories on average. Support your local Iowa beef producer by enjoying some nutrient-dense beef during this National Beef Month. This message brought to you by your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
At midday, July corn down 5 1/4 at 457 1/4. July soybeans up 4 3/4 at 12.18 1/4. July soybean meal down 40 cents at 371.30. July soybean oil up 75 cents at 44.30. On the Merck, June live cattle up $1.23 at 179.48. August feeder cattle up $2.10 at 257.98. June lean hogs up $1.93 at 99.43. June pork cutout down $1.15 at 103.50. And Class 3 milk up 18 cents at 21.03. That was a check of the midday markets on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson.
Focus on livestock in this portion of Iowa Ag Matters. Andy, Dustin, Riley making us sound good. Market man, Mark Magnuson, returning now with Eric Ralph from Comstock. Here's Mark.
On the other side of the ag marketplace, what's happening with the cattle and hogs?
Well, we saw a big update a couple days ago in the cattle, and we couldn't really get a lot of follow through yesterday. But after the moves that we saw on Tuesday, it was nice to at least see some green on the board. Really was surprised we didn't take some of that back, because you know, you had over $4 gains in many of the feeder cattle contracts on Tuesday and held on Wednesday. So that was a good sign. And the same was true with the live cattle. You know, you're talking $2.50 move and then hold on to it the next day. That's a big deal. Normally you would take some of that back, and we didn't. So that is a sign of a strong market. This is all being led by box beef. Box beef has been outstanding this week. We've seen several dollar moves in both choice and select throughout the week. And this all leading up to the peak of grilling season and this Memorial Day demand, as well as the typical graduation and wedding season that we're in here. And so this isn't too big of a surprise. It may be a little later than we would normally see, but to see the beef making a move here is not too big of a surprise, but that's what's leading everything here. And so if we can continue that, I think the cattle are going to do quite well. In the case of the hogs, the cash market has been super thin lately. We've been having trouble even getting reporting because the numbers have been so light. And so until we can get some good volume moving in the cash side, that isn't negative, obviously. I don't know if there's going to be anything to give the impetus to push the hog market for a little while anyway. So we'll just have to wait and see how that looks. And of course, everyone will look forward to any data points upcoming. The next one, particularly for the hogs, won't be until the cold storage report later in the month.
And then, Eric, just to wrap up here today, you're located at the Royal Office for Comstock in Northwest Yes. Iowa. What has been the planting progress in Northwest Iowa recently? What's been your conversations with growers recently?
Well, here in our immediate area, there has been nothing. We have been extremely wet through all of this. I guess to kind of put somewhat of a timeline on it, we came into the second week of April with about an 80% soil moisture profile. This area can hold anywhere from 10 to 12 inches. And so we always say 11 inches. And we were already 80% full when the rain started. Since then, we've had over 10 inches of rain. Last night, we just had another 3/4 inch rain. Now that's going to stop planters from moving. And then we have another rain slated for next Tuesday. If it comes through, then we're talking June before planters are rolling in earnest in this area. Now we're in late plant season, prevent plant as possible. This is turning into a situation for us here locally. Regionally, there's pockets. You're seeing everything.
There are so many decisions that go into being a successful soybean farmer. Plant date, row spacing, water management, crop rotation, soil temperature, cover crop, soil pH, nutrients, water conditions. Whew. At least becoming a farmer member of the Iowa Soybean Association is one straightforward decision in your life. If you market at least 250 bushels of soybeans annually, ISA's farmer membership is available at no additional cost thanks to your soy checkoff investment. Just activate or confirm online and start reaping the benefits. It's a no-brainer. The Iowa Soybean Association proudly celebrates 60 years of moving our industry forward.
Let's continue the conversation about being better organized and keeping better records, or maybe having access to it on the go is a good way to put that. Our friends at 4Harvest have developed this real-time method that's available to you to ease operations during busy time periods. That's next on Iowa Ag Matters.
Well, we're going to continue a conversation that Andy started with the folks with 4Harvest, Dan and Ashley Raizu. And Andy, tell us a little bit what you're talking about here in this next segment.
We're talking about better data management, basically, and having information available at your fingertips as marketing opportunities present themselves in the middle of a very busy planting season. We talked a little bit about the app that we have, and Ashley, the different bin sites and storage capacities can all be set up beforehand, as I understand it. And then as loads are hauled or grain is marketed, contracts are executed, that can all happen in real time. Tell us more.
So you can set up those beginning capacities. So, yep, you can see all of those loads going in and you can see all of them going back out, hauling to each of the different places you're taking them to. And it's all real time. So you can see it at any given time.
All you have to do is open up your phone.
Yep. No, so if you're
for missing scale tickets. Yeah.
Yep. So if you're the main operator, if you're the farmer or you're the main lease running the show, you're sitting in the combine, you can have multiple contracts going. So if you're picking corn and you're hauling that in and you decide to switch over to beans, start cutting beans and hauling in that live contract that you entered and you're hauling into, it'll just be at a standstill. So say you contract 50,000 bushels of corn that you're hauling in, as your help is hauling in, making deliveries there, you can watch it on your phone as they make them deliveries. It'll live take them bushels down. So instead of asking the last person who made a delivery when they got back to the field or calling the co-op, say, hey, how much do I have left on this? You can just pull it up on your phone and say, oh, hey, we got 4,000 bushel left to go. And this is all live. It's based off of mobile. So whatever mobile device that you have in your area that works the best, it goes off of that.
So how do we find out more?
Yeah, so we have a website. If you just go to four, and that's the number four, harvest.com. There you can get some more information about our product and kind of what we are and what we do. And then you can also sign up there. There's a link on there. You click sign up. You just enter a little bit of information, your name, location, that kind of thing. And then the way that we work is we have subscription tiers. And so it starts at 0 to 20 fields is a certain dollar amount, and it kind of goes up from there. So you pay more the more amount of land or fields that you have. But yeah, once you get started, it's pretty easy to set up. You just set up your fields, your delivery locations, bins, that kind of stuff. And then you're really ready to go. It's a really user-friendly app. We kind of kept it as simple as we possibly could, so it doesn't have a lot of extra stuff you don't need or confusing steps or anything. It's really straightforward to get started on. So,
and we're cool. Just completing a portion we're adding to it for like custom hay guys. People that do a lot of baling with alfalfa or hay or corn stalks, bean stubble, they're going to be able to start keeping track of either square bales, round bales, and the tonnage when they haul it off. If they haul it off and store it or haul it off and sell it. So that portion's starting to get wrapped up. And then we've been approached by a few people being able to track to see where loads come from. So I think it's more on the organic side of it. I think grocery stores, end users are wanting to be able to prove or know where their grain came from that fed the animals. So we've been approached by some poultry farmers that if I myself haul a load of corn to them and make a delivery, when I drop that, make that delivery, I can press send and it'll go to that whoever runs that poultry farm and be like, oh, hey, this load of corn came from Western Nebraska from section 16, this quarter right here. So they can tag that with it. So they can let their end users or customers know where their grain came from that is feeding the animals.
Traceability becoming more and more important. There's no question about that. Sounds fantastic. I can't wait to learn more about it. And we appreciate the time here this morning, Dan and Ashley.
Yeah, thank you for having much. Us.
May is National Beef Month, and with the warmer temperatures of the spring season, there's no better time to fire up the grill and enjoy some quality Iowa-raised beef. We all know that beef tastes great, but it can also be an important part of a healthy, balanced diet. Just a 3-ounce serving of beef provides more than 10 essential nutrients like protein, iron, zinc, and vitamins B12 and B6, while only clocking in around 170 calories on average. Studies have also shown that lean beef can help to maintain normal cholesterol levels and promote heart health. On top of that, beef is a highly versatile meat that can be enjoyed in everything from burgers to steaks and tacos to pizzas. Beef cattle are also excellent nutrient upcyclers. About 90% of what they eat can't be digested by humans, making them invaluable to a sustainable food system. Support your local Iowa beef producer by enjoying some nutrient-dense beef during this National Beef Month. This message brought to you by your friends at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
There you have it, comprehensive look at what's happening in Iowa agriculture on the 16th of May in 2024. Thanks to Dustin, thanks to Mark, thanks to Riley, and of course, we appreciate you being here. Be safe as well if you're out in the fields today planting the 24 crops. See you tomorrow on Iowa Ag Matters.